Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
If you're struggling to lose weight, you've probably heard about weight loss medications like Wegovy or Zepbound, and you might be wondering if they're right for you. Meet PlushCare, a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. If you qualify, they can safely prescribe you medication from the comfort of your own home. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
This podcast is part of the Planet Broadcasting Network.
Visit planetbroadcasting.com for more podcasts from our great mates.
Hey, what's up? Welcome to another episode of Serious Issues, a Whitley What Comic Book Podcast. Oh, God damn it.
Yeah.
You know what we are. You listen every week. We're the same thing as that we were last week and every week before that.
Yep, absolutely.
My name is Still Evans.
My name is Still... Oh, I was going to try and come up with a funny name and I'm moving too slow. My name's Siobhan.
You've got
That's
one.
Pretty silly.
Shinbone.
Oh, yeah,
Shinbone. Yeah, Siobhan is pretty silly. You're right.
Siobhan is pretty silly.
And every week we record at King's Comics in Sydney, 310 Pitt Street, Sydney, or kingscomics.com. Mm-hmm. We record at a website, everybody.
We record at a website.
Come visit. It's lots of room in here.
It's like hackers.
Every single week we review all the comic books that came out last week. And we begin every episode by reviewing all the number one issues that came out last week. And Siobhan... What a crazy week for number ones.
There's a lot of them.
We got a shadow drop. That's my favorite word for 2018.
Yeah. What?
It's when you drop something unannounced. In the video game world, it's when they like do like a press conference and then they'll be like, and it's available right now.
Whoa. And that shit's crazy.
The comic book equivalent of that is what Image did this week.
Shipping something to us without telling us what it was.
So they shipped it as... Like what was it called in the codes?
Retailer incentive.
That's
right. Is
that it? So no one knew what this retail incentive was. They just knew that it was, and they were getting a certain amount of it.
Yeah.
Apparently, it had been matched to Robert Kirkman's last book, Oblivion Song. So whatever you ordered of that book, you got of this book, which is a new Robert Kirkman book, featuring art by Chris Burnham,
yes,
called
please.
Die Die Die. Unfortunately, not about the New Zealand post-punk band.
Don't
big
know
fan,
what that
Siobhan?
Is,
big fan.
But cool.
Written by Robert Kirkman with Scott M. Gimple, art by Chris Burnham, colors by Nathan Fairbairn. This is a book called Die, 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 and no one knew it existed until it was suddenly available to buy.
Suddenly on your shelves.
I think that's really, really cool because I fucking love shadow dropping.
Usually, retailer incentives from Diamond are not good. And make us sad. This was an okay retailer incentive.
Can you give us examples of things that have made you sad?
Well, like usually in the past, they would ship stuff to us, but we would still have to pay the shipping. Ha ha ha. Cool. Thanks, guys. All the shit we didn't order. Cheers. Appreciate it.
Yep.
They also send us like variants of things that no one wants.
Sure. Cool. Thanks, Diamond.
Thanks, Diamond.
So Die, Die, Die is a book about spies.
Was it? God, I did kind read of. This. What happened in it?
So it's described on the cover as a blood-soaked, bullet-riddled, ultraviolet mayhem.
Did
from
you know it
Skybound.
Had like 10 different covers because the speech balloons are different on all of the covers?
Oh, that's pretty fun.
Yeah, that's pretty fun, right?
Cute. Yeah, and I'm a massive fan of Chris Burnham as an artist.
Absolutely.
Introduced to him through the Grant Morrison Batman and Robin and Batman Incorporated series that he did art for. He did all the Batman Inc. art. He also did a book with Morrison called Nameless through Image a while ago.
Oh, yeah.
I wasn't a huge fan of that. Yeah. But this sees him kind of doing, I guess, the same kind of book that I would see him doing with someone like Mark Miller.
Yeah. Like something a bit, someone's like nose gets chopped off in pretty like gory detail. Fairly quick, like early on in this issue.
And that's the main character. Main character's nose, you know,
it's on the
front cover.
How does he smell?
Four pages, disgusting. He smells disgusting.
Because he also shat himself. No, I don't know.
He does.
Does he?
Page four. No, he doesn't actually. So basically it's about like a secret society, secret agents working for the president, who in this world is someone in this book is someone that looks like Hillary Clinton, I guess.
Yeah.
Like a really foul-mouthed Hillary Clinton. There's some fun moments in here where they work out how to take down somebody who deserves it the best way possible,
mm-hmm.
By like basically lining up all these cards to fall so that he's in the right place at the right time for them to take him out.
Yeah, it's not just about killing people. Sometimes it's about giving them vouchers.
Exactly. This book opens with the kind of main spy who is kind of acted out all of the kind of big acts that we see mentioned in this issue, captured. After he gets his nose chopped off.
Yes.
The book, at the end of the book, we are introduced to his brother, or mm-hmm. rather two of his brothers.
Mm-hmm.
So I guess this book, I guess each of the three dies in the title refer to a different brother because there are three brothers. Maybe reckon all their names are Die?
I hope so.
Possibly. I thought this was a great book to look at. Chris Burnham is a wonderful violent artist.
Yep.
I really enjoyed the books that he wrote with Joe Casey years
yep.
ago, one of which was made into a movie. That one about the cop. I can't remember.
I don't.
Whatever.
Know.
And Kirkman gives him lots of really great things to draw. It's a much wordier book than Kirkman usually does,
mm-hmm.
because it is a comedy book, I guess, first and foremost. And whether or not you are a fan of Robert Kirkman's humor.
Yeah, to be honest, I didn't realize that it was supposed to be a comedy. I understand that like it's lighthearted, but I sort of thought it was more of like an action, ultra-violence-y thing.
I mean, it's a comedy in the same way that Garth Ennis
yeah.
books can be comedy. This very much felt like him trying to do his take on Garth Ennis humor, so it's an American doing
it was like
Scottish humor.
It was like...
Irish humor? Is like, it Irish? Irish, yes.
Who's Irish?
Garth Ennis.
Is he? No, he's not.
Isn't he?
I don't know.
Why does he always write about fucking Ireland all the time?
I don't know.
Why did he seem bewitched
great.
Again?
Yeah, I don't know how much I liked this in the sense that like it reminded me of a Garth Ennis book.
Mm, definitely.
I was like, meh.
I enjoyed it mostly because of the art, but
yeah.
I definitely enjoyed it more than I enjoyed Oblivion Song, and I made it through
yes.
four issues of that, so I'm going to give this probably the same.
Yeah, nice.
I'll at least attend to. Check it out. If your store still has copies, I reckon this would have sold very well because of the kind of surprise nature of it.
Yeah.
People would have been getting excited about it. So I assume it did.
Did this sell very well, Jim? Die. Oh, it was free. It was free, so it sold amazingly.
Why is there a $3.99 cover price?
I don't know.
If it's free, that's bizarre.
I don't know. Maybe King's just lost out on a bunch of money.
Oh, that's amazing.
Oh, that's
so
nice.
King's Comics gave them away for free. Because they were sent over here for free, they gave them away for free.
Because we're nice.
Good guys, Kings.
We're the best.
Through into mystery, kingscomics.com.
So it did go pretty well.
There you go.
And anything Robert Kirkman's going to sell really well.
Yeah, totally. So the Image book that number one that I enjoyed the most this week is by Rob Gilroy, who is the writer and artist of it. I've previously only seen his work as an artist. He was the main artist on Chew.
I didn't realize he didn't write that.
Image series. That was written by John Layman.
Okay.
And so this is his first thing that he's done as a writer as well. First
yeah.
Series as a writer. It's called Farmhand. It's about a young family the father of the family goes to... Let's say the whole family goes to visit their father's estranged father who has been crucial in the development of... Stem cell research and
he basically found a way to make trees that like grow arms and shit.
So for like you know donors, you don't need donors anymore because trees grow.
There's a kidney tree. Go
and,
get a fresh
and an
kidney.
Arm tree. And like if you've ever read an issue of Chew, you'll know straight away that this is the perfect book for Gilroy to draw. He's a very unique, fun, cartoony. Like I can so imagine this as like his style is like a you know 90s Nicktoon.
Absolutely, Ren and Stimpy vibes.
Definitely.
Almost. But he's very good at that sort of like real gross out. But it's so cartoony you almost don't notice.
Yep, totally. And Chew had that in spades, and this does as well.
I don't heaps like the colors. Something about this that
very neon-y, toxic.
Yeah.
Colors are by Taylor Wells.
Yeah.
I like it when it's not going full neon, but I understand why it's doing the neon stuff in some of the pages.
Yes, absolutely.
This basically is like, you know, at its core, a story about, you know, rekindling a relationship with your estranged father, and you're bringing your new family along with you. Also it's about crazy stem cell research and new scientific findings and
child ninjas.
Yeah, that, so basically there are spies from all over the world who are trying to infiltrate the father's research and steal things away so they can try and emulate his research. And that looks to be like a, you know, kind of ongoing plot in the future.
But he might be a bad guy.
Yeah, this was a ton of fun, and it's clear that like Gilroy definitely learned a lot while as a writer while working as an artist on Chew, because this felt quite thematically similar, not just from an art point of view.
Absolutely, and this is not something that like I've never read Chew because the concept and art never heaps appealed to me.
You would have loved it.
Real prepared to not enjoy this, but I actually enjoyed it in spite of myself.
There you go.
I thought this was good fun, good weird silly fun, and something so different. What a bonkers idea.
Totally. So yeah, definitely check out Farmhand if you're after, this is definitely a comedy book, right? But again, you know, it's a comic.
Sort of.
A comic with comedy in it and also weird action and families and gross out stuff.
Yeah, I wouldn't have said that there were any like laugh out loud gags in it, but the whole concept is sort of uneasily humorous, I suppose.
Yep. Yeah, I really enjoyed this. Outpost Zero is the final of the new Image books that came out this week. And this was written by someone who's usually an editor over at Skybound through Image, Sean Kelly McKeever. He wrote this one and created it alongside the artist Alexandra Tefenkji. And we have colors by Jean-Francois Bellou. And Outpost Zero is about a group of teenagers who are stationed on an outpost in space, and while their parents are either kind of, you know, helping grow things for the entire outpost to eat or out exploring through space, they kind of wait there for their destinies to be decided for them, because I guess kind of they kind of follow their family's line of work.
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot of mystery in the community, there is this threat of the same thing that caused them to be stranded on this outpost in the first place, this crazy storm, space storm, I guess, is on its way back over to their outpost. So what's going to happen?
That was an incredibly succinct explanation of what happened in this book, considering I was sort of like, what's going on throughout the whole thing? Like, there was a lot of world building in this. And, you know, we're always like, show, don't tell. But I could have done with, like, 5% more telling in this, because I was a bit like, oh, this is a really long issue and I have no idea what the fuck's going on.
Yeah, I don't think that this is a... Yeah, you're like, I don't know, this sounds exactly like something that I call for, which is like, you know, when it's so much world building. Actually, no, I complain about that a lot too. I complain about a lot of things. But yeah,
we hate everything.
This was... I think this is the kind of book that I feel like you would be more forgiving of these first, because like, it's a bonus, it's an extra size issue. So you would be more forgiving of how much information you got in these first 40 pages if it was a trade.
Yes.
And you knew that everything would be answered at some point. You know, you was all working towards something, but they introduced way too many things in this first issue, I think.
Yeah, a lot.
And I know it was so you could learn who all the four characters and their families were before the massive, oh my God, moment of the final. But I think, and this is maybe just me, but by the end of the final, I was like, oh, okay. Like,
what?
It wasn't like a big oh shit moment, because felt like it kind of dragged to get there.
Yeah, absolutely. And I was sort of a bit like, there wasn't enough difference between the designs of the characters for me to really lock on to any of them, especially. I felt like we were following too many people. Like, I would have liked more, just one clear protagonist.
Yep.
But as it was just, it did feel a bit sort of meandering and bloated and unfocused, maybe.
Yeah.
But I love the art, and I actually like the concept once it's come down to it. And I think that this will read better in trade, and I will read issue two.
Okay. You know? All right. If you read issue two, I'll read issue two.
All right. Deal.
That's Outpost
I'll probably
Zero.
Forget.
Our final image, number one of the week. And we move over to Marvel, who've released two number ones this week. Starting with the long awaited return of the Amazing Spider-Man. He's been gone for decades. but this is a new series taking over from the longtime writer Dan Slott. We have Nick Spencer, who the last thing he did for Marvel, or the last big...
Was he made Captain America a Nazi?
No, he didn't.
He didn't.
But yeah, Secret Empire was the last big Nick Spencer book. Of course, he then co-wrote with Donny Cates the Doctor Strange event-y thing as well. But yeah, this is his big return to an ongoing Marvel book. And we've been kind of guessing for ages who could potentially take over at Spider-Man. And we definitely guessed Spencer at one point. And I also guessed that after he finished up at Invincible, That Ryan Ottley would be a great Spider-Man artist.
What a perfect fit as well.
And so that's the creative team behind this book. We have Ryan Ottley on art. Nick Spencer wrote this one. At some point, I'll be able to let you know who the colorist was, because the colors are great on this.
The colors are great, and Ryan Ottley feels like a book that he has been meant to work on. That's not a sentence, but you know what I mean.
Being meant to write on.
No.
So this is another huge issue. Inked by Cliff Rathburn, colors by Laura Martin.
Good colors by Laura Martin.
Definitely. And this was I don't know what I was expecting from Nick Spencer, but I feel like I got. We had something else come out recently where it was, I guess you could compare it to Bendis taking over on Superman, where you expect it to be this like drastically different new take, but instead it's like this kind of really refined back to basics approach. And that's what Spencer's done here. And I really enjoyed this for the most part.
I did enjoy this a lot. Like, I'm a like number one Nick Spencer. I'm always ready to like jump on anything he does and criticize it. Because I haven't enjoyed a lot of the superhero stuff, or actually I haven't enjoyed a lot of stuff that he's done. Although I did quite like all the Hydra Cap stuff.
I like Superior Foes of Spider-Man is probably my favorite thing that he's done in the past.
See, I didn't like that. And I sort of thought I might be a little bit annoyed by his Spider-Man, but I did actually find it pretty funny. I think he writes a pretty funny Spider-Man.
Yeah, definitely.
I like the like bringing MJ back as like and making them a couple again. I think that like is smart and it works and it's good. I liked this. I thought this was cool.
Yeah, and it's not just like, you know, the familiar feels of having Mary Jane and Peter back together again. We've also got a lot of kind of like classic old villains in this.
Mysterio. So
it looks like Mysterio is going to be one of the main villains, as well as the Lizard.
Yep, yes.
Who we see show up at the end in a bonus little story with art by Ramon Perez, featuring another of Nick Spencer's long-time written characters, Beetle.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
This just felt like it didn't feel like, when I say it didn't feel new, I don't mean that as like a complaint. Like,
no, this, absolutely not.
This just felt like, you know, someone who loves Spider-Man.
Yes.
Getting to write his take on Spider-Man.
Yes.
And it being mostly, you know, pretty similar to the Spider-Mans that we've had before, but sometimes that's what you want from a Spidey book.
For sure, absolutely. Taking the things that make the character great and just refining it into one book. Especially after, like, I was a big fan of Dan Slott's whole run, but, like, it was very...
techie.
And also he created a lot of stuff.
Sure.
That then went along with Spider-Man throughout his whole run. So kind of stripping a bit of that back... I think it works. Making him a student again, that's pretty hilarious. Just constantly de-aging him.
Totally.
He had a tech company, for Pete's sakes.
Yeah. Peter Parker's sex. And I enjoyed that, like, the kind of big drive, the big drama in Peter's life is that he's been called out for plagiarizing Dr. Octopus's paper. Like, one of the papers that he submitted was won by Dr. Octopus. And, of course, that was because at one point, Dr. Octopus was Peter Parker.
Yeah.
But who's going to believe that? So, it's not Spider-Man causing Peter Parker's problems. It's, you know, well, it still is, I guess.
Yeah, but just the past.
But his mum is really, really upset at him.
His mum?
I kind of just...
Aunt May, sorry.
Aunt May, of course, but fuck. Yeah, you're right.
That's like,
bad.
Core part of his character, mate. Sorry.
My bad. Whatever. I was going to say his grandma, too.
Yeah.
One of the most frustrating things about Spider-Man is that... And I feel like we get so many other characters, especially now that, like, you know, in the MCU, secret identities aren't really that important of a thing.
Yeah.
But I feel like so many of Peter Parker's problems would go away if he just told Aunt May that he was Spider-Man.
Yes.
It's more frustrating to me than Batman never killing Joker.
Yes, absolutely. Just tell Aunt May. I think she would understand. And she would be like, oh, but makes a lot of sense.
I guess that he doesn't tell her to protect her. I guess that's the argument. But
yeah, but
like,
he doesn't protect her.
Yeah,
she's constantly
right.
in danger.
Poor, frail Aunt Mum. Ryan Ottley, of course, I was already a massive fan after his work on Invincible. Is it Invincible? Yes. He just does incredible work on this. It's so good. Excellent pairing with Laura Martin as a colorist. And it's just, you know, the opening battle sees Spidey alongside all kinds of Marvel characters. And it's just so much fun that Nick Spencer gave him the opportunity to just draw so many fun splash pages. And it is a wordy book, but it's an extra big issue. It's spread out over lots of great panels by Otley. So Nick Spencer made the right call there. I want to see a book featuring Ryan Otley's take on Gambit more. That is a good Gambit.
He nails pretty much everyone on that really nice double splash page.
Yep. Really good. So yeah, I'll definitely be sticking around for this series.
Yeah, for sure. For sure. Good fun.
But guess what, Siobhan?
What?
It wasn't actually my favorite Marvel number one this week.
Whoa!
We got a book that I didn't know what to expect.
And
that was X-23 number one. Now, we've been big fans of the Tom Taylor written Wolverine run, which saw Laura, aka X-23, take up the mantle of Wolverine after he died. I was a bit miffed. Not really. I mean, obviously, what the Furkiles are they going to do when Logan comes back? You know, he's got to be Wolverine again.
Yeah.
So, and people already are aware of the name X-23. I guess, you know, this is kind of inevitable.
Mm-hmm.
So, new writer, Mariko Tamaki. If this was announced a year ago off the back of Supergirl being super, I would have been super excited and be like, yes, this is the right pick. But yeah. I didn't love her She-Hulk run.
Agreed.
So I wasn't sure what to expect from this, but one thing I was excited about was that they had returning artists from most of Tom Taylor's Wolverine run, Juan Cabal, on art for this first issue.
He's so good.
So good.
I don't know where he came from.
Well, he just leveled up through doing all the Wolverine issues, and it just got better and better.
Yep.
Colors by his regular collaborator, Nolan Woodard. And this is a new X-23 series that sees Laura with her Tom Taylor-introduced sidekick, Gabby, the clone of herself.
Mm-hmm. Honey Badger.
We open with the two of them. Basically, they're taking out, they're doing missions for Beast.
Yeah.
Which is
sick.
Just great. Hank McCoy is just giving them, like, you know, people to take out in the name of helping mutants, especially cloning mutants.
Yep.
Is kind of like the thing that they're kind of targeting. After they have a successful opening mission, we then see them back at the X-Mansion talking with Beast. And as they're leaving, they run into the Cuckoo Sisters.
With, like, the coolest redesign in
coolest
so
and creepiest
long.
Redesign. Yeah.
I love it. So it's so good.
The
Shiny
Cuckoo Sisters were five clones of Emma Frost.
Yep.
Who featured heavily in Grant Morrison's new X-Men run.
Mm-hmm.
I think the original design was by Frank Quitely.
Yep.
Which is almost untouchable. So it's kind of cool to see someone with the balls to do an even better take on their costume design.
Absolutely.
While still retaining their overall look that you got from the Quietly designs.
Yep.
So basically, you know, they've had a pretty weird last decade.
Yep.
In which they've lost two of their number. Well, they lost one in the new X-Men run and then another more recently.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
While Gabby and Laura are, like, talking about missions and also the fact that neither of them as clones having birthdays,
mm-hmm.
which is, like, a big part of their dialogue in this. While that's going on, we see the three remaining Cuckoo Sisters, who have always kind of been, like, background players, are really kind of given, like, big amounts of character development. Exactly. But
usually just, like, spooky offsiders.
We see that the two sisters that we thought dead are not. They're close too. They're also these creepy zombies.
They've been, like, recloned? Are these, like, new clones of them? They're spooky anyway.
So this basically becomes a horror book featuring characters that we already knew existed as the main villain.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And that was just such a cool twist that I did not see coming.
Absolutely.
And because of that, I implore everybody to buy this book because it's really, really good. It celebrates
really good
all things that make Laura and Gabby great, while also just, like, bringing a lot of great things over from the X-Men books that I've loved in the past over to this series too.
Absolutely.
Namely Beast and the Cuckoo Girls.
Yes. Yes.
And Juan Cabal is a treat. The colors are wonderful.
Uh-huh.
And Mariko Tamaki just carries
Bodies
on.
It.
The great,
kills it.
great relationship between Laura and Gabby, in fact, makes it a bit more strained than it ever was between in Tom Taylor's take. And I feel like, you know, you'd only really get that from a female writer.
Absolutely.
As realistic as we're getting it here. And that's no shade on Tom Taylor
at all. No.
This feels like a book written by a woman.
And they feel like sisters.
Yes.
Like, really, that's a sister relationship. And I love how muscly Laura looks.
Yes, definitely.
So good. Juan Cabala, like, kills it. I love the green suit that Beast is in. Just everything about this issue was, like, really perfect.
Yeah, me too. I'm so glad you enjoyed this as well. This was just an absolute highlight this week.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Yep. Now we move over to the aforementioned Brian Michael Bendis, who is over at DC now. I think he actually killed one of the Cuckoo Sisters, I think.
Fucking Bendis.
But fucking Bendis himself is over at DC riding the big man in the big red undies, Superman. And after he finished the Man of Steel last week, he has the new Superman book featuring art by Ivan Reis. Reese or Rice? I don't know, whatever. Sorry, Ivan. Ivan whatever. This is a new Superman book with a new number one on it. I'm stalling while I try and find out. There, here we go. Colors by Alex Sinclair, inks by Joe Prado. And
it has that vibe, like this, like the inks by Joe Prado make it look a bit
older.
Yeah, I was gonna say dated, but I don't know if that's too harsh. But I'm gonna stick by it.
Classic.
Yes, classic.
We even get a different paper stock.
Yeah,
in the physical edition.
Yeah, isn't that interesting? DC have done that with a bunch of books, gone from the glossy to non-glossy pages.
Yeah, the thick matte paper. I like this. I've got a lot of comics that I enjoy.
I don't mind it.
Change it up. Gloss is dumb. Too shiny.
Too shiny. See, the colors better this way.
That's right.
But I don't know if I like the colors.
Yeah, I don't know if this is the right art to show off this new paper stock, but I doubt anyone but us cares about that. This follows directly on from the Man of Steel event. Lois and John Kent have gone into space with Jor-El, Superman's estranged father, and Superman is unable to contact them. But he's got bigger things to worry about. Not really, but... maybe.
He needs a new Fortress of Solitude in the Bermuda Triangle.
Yeah, and it's like, I was like, oh, wow, you know, Bendis has taken away the Fortress of Solitude. That's big. And then he just builds a new one in two pages.
Yes, please.
In the Bermuda Triangle. It's a pretty awesome splash page of it built.
And I like how much time he spends with him as Clark Kent.
Yep, definitely.
That's good. I enjoy that.
That was one thing going into this, you know, Bendis going over. We're like, oh, I'm looking forward to seeing more scenes at the Daily Planet.
Yep.
And all those characters being a bigger part of Superman's story. There's a great scene in which Martian Manhunter comes to talk to Superman. And every time he gets like, you know, two sentences in, and then Superman says, wait 1 second, and then we'll go. You'll get like a half the page of him saving somebody or punching somebody out and then returning to the conversation in a split second. That was a great way to kind of show, you know, just how much Superman is doing at any given moment.
And I like Martian Manhunter. Seems like Martian Manhunter's trying to pressure him into, like, entering politics.
Yeah.
Being like, you should really be president.
I don't know if that is, like, my Martian Manhunter, but sure. I'm just happy to see him in more books.
Aren't we all? And I love the costume design where he's got his belly out. It's great. Little ab window.
Yeah, and I like that Superman even tells him that he looks good.
Yeah.
You look good,
yeah,
John.
Yeah, totally. He's like, thanks, bro.
There was another very funny visual gag where while undercover as Clark Kent at the Daily Planet, Clark sneaks into a utility closet and another writer walks past him as he does that. And then there's just a close-up of him like rolling his eyes, I guess suggesting that Clark Kent is like having a wank in there. I read it as that, right?
Okay. Look, my mind went there as well, but I don't know if that's what he intended, but that's where we went.
Of course it's where we went.
Is that what people use utility closets for?
When
they work in real offices?
We're in Australia, we don't have utility closets. We have to wank in the open down here. Let us know. Is that what people do? Let us know what people do in utility closets. Don't have to say what you do in utility closets.
Yeah, let us know where you
consensus.
Wank. No, I'm joking. Please don't.
Please fucking don't.
Please fucking don't.
So, look, more of the same good times that we got from Man of Steel.
Absolutely.
I'm enjoying Bendis' take on the character.
Absolutely. And with, like, a hilarious final page reveal.
Yeah, totally.
The entire Earth is in the Phantom Zone.
What?
Spoilers. What?
One complaint That's is that I wish Doc Shaner or Adam Hughes drew this book instead of Ivan Reis, but he's good, fine.
Yeah, he's fine. And if either of them were doing it, we would get one book every 6 months.
Yeah, well, I mean, I read too many books as is, so I'm okay with that,
yeah,
too.
Yeah, true, actually.
So over to Dark Horse now, and we have two books. One of them is through the Karen Berger imprint, Berger Books. And this is a new book called She Could Fly, which has been written by someone new to comics, co-creator of the AMC show Halt and Catch Fire.
Who knows what that is?
Yeah, exactly. I have no idea. His name is Christopher Cantwell. But the main reason I was like,
oh, fuck yes. But he can write comics well.
He really can. It helps that he has one of our favorite artists, Martin Morazzo, last seen on Ice Cream Man, on art with colors by Miroslav Merva. It's called She Could Fly, three Berger Books. And it's about a girl who is having a rough time kind of accepting who she is.
Yeah, so she has like and it's also like a kind of OCD that makes, I've heard of it before, and so it was kind of cool to see it expressed so well in this issue, where you have sort of horrible thoughts and you think that you might do something horrible to people that you love and you care about. And so this girl constantly, the more she loves someone, the more she cares about them, the more she has these horrible fantasies where she kills them.
In which
it's
a voice,
locked away.
And a voice tells her that she will do it, and there's nothing that she can do to stop herself from doing these horrible things.
Yeah.
The whole way through. And there are small glimmers of hope in her life. And one of them is a woman who's been, who's somehow gotten the power of flight, who's kind of everyone, basically all the news is reporting on this woman who can fly, and she's the main character is kind of like addicted to finding out more about this. And that's like kind of like this moment of hope in her life.
Mm-hmm.
And that she borders on obsession with. This gets pretty dark.
Yeah.
And it's really, really great.
Yeah. Her estranged grandmother returns from like a 7-year meditation retreat that she's been on, and seems to be some kind of Buddhist monk almost. And then we also see a scientist who is being blackmailed into giving up his research or something by the Chinese.
I think he's linked to that woman who can fly.
Yeah.
Yeah, so it's a lot of crazy conspiracy, mystery, slight supernatural elements.
Yep.
Almost like, you know, if they exist, they don't. Like, it's like the demon in Kill or Be Killed. Does it exist or does it not?
Absolutely.
Like, you know, does his voice in her head, does it belong to someone, or is it just her head? I really, really loved this. This is an excellent first issue.
This is probably my favorite issue of our first issue of the week.
I can't remember what I said was. Oh, but I definitely liked this one more than that. So.
Yeah, look, really, really great issue. I really recommend everyone pick it up. The art is so gorgeous, and the colors by Miroslav Mirva are excellent.
I'm not sure if we gave this issue justice. It's only a 4-issue limited series. Uh-huh. But if we didn't, how about the writer of Ms. Marvel herself, G. Willie Wilson, says it's full of unexpected pleasures, masterful, joyful, poignant, a must read.
It's very true. Also, future writer of Wonder Woman.
Oh, what?
Yeah.
I didn't see that.
Yeah.
That's fucking awesome.
G. Willie Wilson is
going to
be writing Wonder Woman.
That's crazy.
So fucking excited. With Cary Nord on art. Yes, please. Yes. Yes, please.
That's awesome. I had no idea. That's so great.
Yep.
How cool.
I know.
The final Dark Horse number one this week is Incredibles 2.
Wow, you read so many more number ones than me.
You didn't read this?
No.
Yeah, you didn't need to. Basically, this is like a collection of short stories set in the Incredibles world by writers Christos Gage and Landry Q. Walker. With art by Guri Hiru, Jay Bone, and Andrea Greppi. It was pretty fun, you know, if very unnecessary, but if you have someone young in your life who is obsessed with The Incredibles, this is a great way to get them into comic books.
Lovely.
And those are always important.
Absolutely.
So that's Incredibles 2. It exists in a bizarre continuity that I had to let go of, where they're allowed to practice their powers, but a certain character who leaves at the start of the movie is still around.
Okay. Look, I still haven't seen the movie.
You should. It's fun.
Yeah.
It's good.
I saw Ocean's 8 instead.
Good movie.
I liked it.
I was annoyed.
Crime pays.
My favorite characters don't get... They get like 30 seconds in their amazing ball gown frocks at the end. Yeah. Give me like a whole hour of Rihanna in a dress, please.
Yes. Absolutely agreed. That's a good movie.
She wore like a Bob Marley t-shirt the entire movie, and then suddenly in the best dress I've ever seen.
Yeah. Worth it, though.
So another book that is an all-ages title is out through Kaboom this week, written and drawn by Derek Lofman. It's called Ruin World. Did you read this?
Nope.
Oh, it's about like a cute little fox and a cute little pig on a quest to find like magical artifacts in a ruined world.
Cute.
And when they do, they unleash an enchantment. Like they basically get rid of an enchantment, and then suddenly like enormous tentacles sprout from the ground and try and attack them.
Oh, no.
So it's basically like a supernatural book in which cute little anthropomorphic animals betray each other and try and exist in this awful world where everything is trying to, you know, kill them or, you know, beat them up.
Sounds cool.
It's really, really fun. The art is really, really sweet. I'm not familiar with Derek Lofman's other books or anything like that, but I'll be reading this little series for sure. One of five issues of this. This is really, really fun. basically a bug has joined their party and betrays them immediately because he has to pay back an enormous debt to some mean-looking wolves.
Cool.
I like this. This is fun. Ruin World. Now, I read a bunch of... I tried to read a bunch of number ones.
Okay.
One of our favorite listeners and bona fide Transformers expert, Connor, they recommended me... Well, I asked them. I was like, hey, there's a new Transformers book. They've been getting me to read this awesome series called Transformers More Than Meets the Eye, mm-hmm. which a lot of people say is very good, and it is. And I'll talk about it in a bonus Patreon episode very soon.
Excellent.
So when a new Transformers series started, I was like, hey, how like, you know, will I be able to get into this with my limited knowledge of Transformers? Mm. And they told me, yeah, it's a great jumping on point. Connor,
is that a lie?
This is ridiculously hard to penetrate.
I don't understand Transformers, and I appreciate that lots of people love them, and like, I'm sure it's cool, but I don't get it. I don't get it. I don't care about robots. Even robots with feelings, I don't care.
More Than Meets the Eye made me care about it a lot. I'm halfway through that series. It's really, really fun. And all the characters are very well written.
Is that Rom?
So that was what turned me off. I'm like, why the fuck's Rom in this? I have enough trouble getting around the Transformers. Also, the cover featured Lady Transformers, but they're not even in the book.
And why are there Lady Transformers? Why are there genders in the robots?
You're going to get...
Why have they got tits?
All of that has been apparently explained in the...
Why do they have tits?
Okay. All right.
Someone tell me.
It's up to you, probably, Connor.
Yeah, Connor, why do they have tits?
So I also tried to read Relay.
Which
is a new Aftershock book, which is written by Zach Thompson with art by Andy Clark. And then you have a story by Zach Thompson, Eric Bromberg, and Donny Cates.
Okay.
So, of course, they put Donny Cates on the cover. Hilarious. As like one of the main creators, but it doesn't.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I don't think he's had much to do with this. This is like a science fiction future book in which a bunch of like law enforcers are trying to... They've been tasked with tracking down someone who technically... someone who's been dead for 300 years.
Oh, yeah.
That lots of like cultists believe in, but it's hard to explain.
Cool.
The art was awesome, which is why I kept trying to give it a go. And there's some awesome pages where they just let this artist just go nuts. Mm-hmm. Great colors by Jose Villalubra. Yeah, ultimately I just wasn't interested in the story that much.
Fair enough.
And I didn't need to read a Voltron book. Oh yeah, did you read The Tempest?
Okay, so I picked that up because I was like, ooh, I love The Tempest. I thought that it was going to be about the play The Tempest, and then it's just a new League of Extraordinary Gentlemen book, and I have massively lost track of what's going on in League of Extraordinary Gentlemen, and I don't heaps care.
Yeah, cool. So I was lost immediately, written by Alan
Moore.
As much
as I love Kevin O'Neill.
Kevin O'Neill's art is so great.
I would love it if they just literally did a adaptation of The Tempest.
That's what I thought it was going to be too.
Yeah.
And I was like, I don't remember this shit
happening.
They
tricked me with the cover.
There are no submarines in a Shakespeare play.
It's very true.
That's why I don't read them.
Yeah. No submarines. Fucking nightmare. One thing I wanted to mention just quickly is a local comic called Konko and the Fudge, which sounds massively like it would be not for me.
Like a Nintendo 64 game.
So this is published by Gorilla Press. It's written by Goonie Tunes with art by Butch Mapper. And this is like, it's by wrestling bros, local wrestling guys. I didn't know that
Sydney
there was
based
like
wrestling bros.
I didn't know that there was like a Newcastle based wrestling league.
Newcastle Pro Wrestling. Give them the full credit they deserve.
Pros. But there is, guys, turns out. Anyway, I thought this was not going to be up my alley, and it's not. There's no, that. Like, I mean, you know, if I had an alley, you would not see this in it. But I did enjoy it.
If I had an alley.
Look, I had an alley.
No, I was trying to stretch it. Anyway, this is about a, like, old-timey strongman who is like, no one can beat me in arm wrestles. And then a lady is like, I can beat you in an arm wrestle. And she smooches him, and he's so surprised that she wins the arm wrestle. And then she's like, run away with me. And he's like, okay. But then he waits for her for 100 years, and she never shows up. And then it's in present day.
Right, wow.
And he's an old-timey wrestler. And it's really, like, sweet and funny, and the art's really lovely.
Oh, also,
it
reminds me of like Bruce Timm.
Absolutely. Yeah. It's really like clean, clear, fun, cartoony nonsense with like a weird kind of supernatural bent. And I really, really enjoyed it. You can get it at kingscomics.com, or you can look up Goonie Tunes on various social media places.
Konko and the Fudge.
Konko and the Fudge.
Oh, no one will forget that. C-O-N-C-O. Konko and the Fudge.
But it's genuinely good.
That looks great. I'm going to steal this off you right now. Yoink.
Yoink.
So now we play a game called Roll the Dice for Marvel, Image, or DC. But you know what? We're running low on time, Siobhan.
Oh
Who
my
cares?
God. Okay.
That means we're going to play a new game called Wayne. What are we going to talk about first? Marvel, Image, or DC?
DC.
DC first, then?
Marvel.
Marvel, then Image. Okay.
All thanks. Right.
Thank you so much to Wayne of Wayne's Payne's fame. So let's talk about Batman Detective Comics number 984, the second issue written by new Detective Comics writer Brian Hill. Follows a first issue in which Siobhan was like, I'm not sure if I like this. And I was like, I'm pretty sure I like this. Siobhan, what do you think of this issue?
I like this.
I like this a lot.
Yeah.
This is really great. So basically, there is someone, like a new enemy that's taking out all of Batman's Bat family because they make him weak, which is not an entirely new concept. But the new part of the concept is that Batman admits that they make him weak in this issue, which I thought was an interesting way to take the story.
Mm-hmm.
And so, yeah, we see this new villain who's been basically also we see his origin story in like one page, which was excellently done. He buys his tech from a Russian person. And
so you know they're evil.
And yeah, basically he has tech that allows him to know what people are thinking.
Mm-hmm.
So he immediately learns Batman's true identity as soon as he's in the same vicinity of him. And Batman has brought Black Lightning to Gotham to help him with his Bat family.
Yes. And Black Lightning's like, you know, I'm a teacher, right? You have all these like minors who are like been drafted into your war. I can't possibly agree with you on this. And that's good.
Yeah. This was basically, yeah, we see this is a big fight between all of our heroes and Cassandra Cain and this new villain. And
yeah, it seems like the key sort of team, and this is going to be like Black Lightning, Barbara Gordon, and Cassandra Cain, which I am absolutely here for.
That's 100%. Really, really cool.
It's really cool. Yeah. And the art by Miguel Mendoza on pencils, Diana Ager on inks, and Adriano Lucas on colors is like phenomenal. Yep. It's a sexy Bruce Wayne.
Yeah, it's really sexy, even though he's all cut up. Maybe that's what Siobhan's into.
It's my favorite thing.
So yeah, Siobhan's just taking a walk over to the utility closet.
Oh, God.
Plastic Man, issue number 2, out through DC this week. That cover.
I fucking love Gail Simone. I love her so much. She is so funny.
Gail Simone is the writer of this issue and this series. The art, who's the artist on this? Because the art is good. Adriana Mello.
Yes. And there was lady artist. Yes, please.
And there was an amazing cover by Bilquis Evely.
Yes.
I'm not a lady artist, but I love that cover so much.
Such a good cover.
And this series, I talk at length about how much I love Choose Your Own Adventure comics.
Yeah.
One thing I love more than that, Where's Wally's books.
Yes, yes, yes.
And there's a Where's Wally page in this where you've got to find Plastic Man and then a bunch of other weird things.
And it was like so funny, like where it goes, the dog a dog with ennui, and it's the first one that you look for, and it's like the funniest picture of a dog with ennui ever.
Yeah. I'm glad you described that, because I don't want our listeners to know how I would have pronounced ennui.
How would you pronounce ennui?
I don't know, like NUI or something.
I just love this. I love this so much. I love that it's like Plastic Man's like, oh, there was just this kid and now this kid's disappeared. And I know I'm not a hero, but I guess I got to find this kid.
Yep.
I'm finding this kid, everyone.
And I like that they just kind of made Plastic Man a bit mad.
Yeah.
Which totally works for the character.
Absolutely.
Like, you know, he is this kind of like cartoon character in a superhero world.
Mm-hmm.
And they have a great grasp of all the weird things that Plastic Man can do with his body.
Yep.
Contorting himself and changing.
I bet Gal Simone has some fucked up ideas about what Plastic Man can do with his body.
Keep him in the utility closet,
Keep
I say.
Him in the utility closet.
Man-Bat is in this.
Yep.
It's fun.
It's real fun.
At one point, oh, by the way, Connor, at one point, Plastic Man transforms into a Transformer.
Yeah. Also a dragon, also Iron Man.
Yeah.
It's great. He's a little bit like fourth wall breaky. I love so much now we've got Gail doing Domino and Plastic Man. They have the same release schedule, so you get like a sweet Gail Simone double bill.
Yep.
Once a month.
Really good times.
My favorite shit.
Yeah. Did I say keep it in the utility closet or utility belt?
You said utility closet, I think.
Yeah, cool. Who knows?
I hope so.
This whole time. Michael Cray. Came out this week, issue number 9. Another one written by Brian Hill, who we talked about a minute ago with Detective Comics. This one features art by N. Stephen Harris. This has been co-written with Warren Ellis and colors by Dexter Vines. This book is about the Wildstorm character, Michael Cray, who has kind of been enlisted to kill his way through these alternate versions of DC characters in his universe. In this one, it looks like he's been enlisted by Constantine to help kill Wonder Woman.
Wait, I thought that Constantine and Wonder Woman were on the same team.
But I feel like Constantine is like trying to betray Wonder Woman.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, anyway.
I was confused.
I was confused, but also I was fine with that. It's one of those great books that's like really well put together from a dialogue point of view and characterization that even when the book takes twists that you're not really expecting or you're like not entirely explained, you're like, oh, they'll tell me at some point. Keep reading.
So in this, Michael Cray has like some kind of, he's being possessed by some kind of like demon, I suppose, which gives him like scary powers where he can melt people sort of. And it has a voice. Who do you reckon it is? Because it's kind of like a pink Kirby crackle when they sort of do the voice.
I just assume that that's what Michael Cray always had from his old
time. I have no clue. I kind of thought that maybe it's like, you know, Jakeem Thunder.
Okay, you'll be satisfied if that happens.
Me and only me.
But yeah, this series continues to be a very, very good one.
Absolutely.
That I enjoy reading.
Evil Constantine, Evil Wonder Woman, good fun.
Yeah, great times. Eternity Girl, issue number 5.
Is this the second last issue?
Issue by through DC's Young Animal imprint, written by Magdalene Visaggio, Sunny Liu on art, Chris Chukri on colors.
It's a weird book.
It's a really weird book, this issue had some cool moments. I think I'm just reading it because it is a bit of a head fuck and just kind of pushing my way through to the end. Definitely one that would read better in trade.
Agreed.
But my favorite thing about this book is Sunny Liu. I love his art a lot, and I will be following him in whatever he does in the future.
Absolutely, and it's a very interesting book. There's sort of like two stories happening simultaneously, and they interact with each other, and
it's
sort of quite confusing and strange. But I do like it.
I'm into it.
Absolutely.
Wayne told us to talk about Marvel next.
Yep.
Let's talk about Unbeatable Squirrel Girl number 34, written by Ryan North with art by Derek Charm, colors by Rico Renzi. This current plot seems to be dragging on a little bit.
I sort of feel bad because I'm like, it's just I don't like this arc that much, and it's not, I don't think it's Derek Charm's fault, but it just makes me like ultra miss Erica Henderson.
Yeah. So basically, Squirrel Girl and her friends decided to have a fun day with Kraven the Hunter, who is promised that he's going to be a good guy now. But after they escape from an escape room, Kraven Hunter is noticed by police, and then they all have a fight to try and save Kraven, and then they're all in jail. And they can't escape jail. They have to go to a trial. And so it's what should be like a really, really fun issue. It's actually kind of like light on jokes for a Ryan North book.
Absolutely. Even in like the bottom of the page jokes.
Yeah, totally. And there were, you know, a few chuckles. But I don't read Squirrel Girl for a few chuckles.
Maximum I want chuckles.
Non-stop chuckles.
You know what I do want after reading this, though? I want Ryan North to write Spider-Man or something.
Yeah,
some
me
point.
Too.
I want a Ryan North Spidey book.
I mean, I wanted,
he's so funny.
I wanted Chip 2 as well, and that wasn't as good as I was hoping it was going to be.
Yeah, you very
Although occasionally it is. That annual.
Yeah.
That was great.
That was great. Yeah. That was great.
But yeah, I'm enjoying this. I don't think any of, I don't think my less enjoyment of this than what I normally get is Derek Sharm's fault at all.
No.
I just think this arc's got one more to go before it concludes. And it could have been maybe one or two issues shorter.
Yeah. The arc of trying to be like, sorry, like Ryan North sort of, way he approaches things and trying to be like a little bit grounded almost. I don't know if it necessarily all the time works, especially with characters like Kraven the Hunter, who's mm-hmm. like ultra silly. But it's still good fun.
Yeah. And he's just a different kind of silly.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Exiles number 5, written by Saladin Ahmed with awesome art by Javier Rodriguez.
Okay, I dropped off this.
Yeah, me too. I thought this was the final issue, so I was like, oh, I've made it this far, I may as well finish it off.
Uh-huh.
It's not. This is the conclusion of the arc. And now the team of Blink and Little Wolverine and who's the boy? The guy who's from the Young Avengers.
Yep.
Young version of Kang.
Nate.
They go on a holiday together. And Valkyrie, okay. Obviously. Kamala's not with them anymore after this issue.
Okay.
I guess now they're just going to have more adventures as a team.
That's cool. Maybe yeah. I'll read the next arc.
Yeah, I think so too. I think they tried to do way too... Like, there's a lot of dialogue.
Yeah, wow.
In this book, which is not what
Man,
I want.
And the art is gorgeous.
On a book with Javier Rodriguez on it, because it just means I get more white balloons covering his awesome art. He's not someone that I like, you know, seeing lots and lots of panels from as well. He's very, very good at being dynamic.
Absolutely.
And he wasn't really given a chance to on this arc so far, but hopefully we see him able to in the future.
Mm-hmm.
I think Saladin Ahmed is still relatively new
to
comic writing, but after he knocked it out of the park immediately with his first book, Black Bolt, I assume more of the same for this. But team books are different.
Absolutely.
Too many characters to balance, man.
Speaking of team books, I read Champions. Did you read Champions?
No.
Okay, so I jumped on for some reason.
Jim Zub's on it.
Because Jim Zub's on it.
I like Zub.
And new artist Kevin LeBrander, I think new artist. I haven't been following
You know Jim Zub wrote my favorite Spider-Man story?
No way.
Shed. Have you read that one?
No.
But with the lizard?
No.
It's very good.
I thought you meant like in a shed. Anyway. I got this because it was like a makeover issue. Like Amadeus Cho has a new look and name and Ironheart has new armor. Great.
Yep, great.
All great. I love issues like that. And this was really good fun. Jim Zub is like a great...
Oh, fuck. I fucked it. It's not Jim Zub. It's Zeb Wells.
Great
story. They got a rich shed. Chris Pacelli did it on it. It's awesome.
I love Chris Pacelli.
Yeah, anyway.
But I also love... What's his name? Whoever does this. Kevin LeBrander. Because look at that. Look at how pretty this is.
Yeah.
Look at how nice it is.
LeBrando did some great art on Royals, the Al Ewing Inhumans book.
Right, of course.
Yeah.
I really like this. I think that Jim Zub nails the sort of teen angst element of the Champions way better. So in this, like we saw in one of the Infinity Countdown books, Sam Alexander is no longer Nova. He had his Nova helmet taken away.
Yep.
And there's some fucking weird shit going on with the Vision and Viv Vision and lots of relationshipy stuff. And
cool.
Yeah, I loved it. I thought this was a really good issue.
Great.
Good fun. I'm back on Champions, everyone.
Back on Champions. Back on.
Absolutely.
So we mentioned Saladin Ahmed earlier and we're going to do it again because I, for some reason, read the third issue of Quicksilver No Surrender.
Oh, yeah.
After saying I would stop. I thought one of the main reasons...
I'm a woman of my word.
What's it, sorry?
I'm a woman of my word.
I'm not a woman of my word at all.
You are not.
But, so this is Quicksilver like stuck in like a speed realm or something like that and trying to save everyone that he cares about while some mysterious, colorful entity tries to take them away from him. And it's a lot of like inner dialogue, him narrating all the bad things that have gone on in his life and reminded me of how fucked up they've made the origin story of Wanda and Quicksilver. It's not just Magneto as their dad anymore. It's like... Yeah, you know, they're Inhumans and the High Evolutionary and all this bullshit. I thought I didn't like Eric Nguyen's art, and that's not true at all because when it's colored normally, like a normal comic, it's great.
Beautiful.
But for some reason, they've chosen to make it completely black and white, save for a few flashes of like neon when he's in the speed realm, and it just doesn't do the art any favors at all.
Yeah.
Which is a bummer, but at the end of the story, Quicksilver is reunited with his turtle, which is apparently a thing. I don't know.
Okay. Cool. I'm into it.
Look, it ties into No Surrender, which is an event that I surprisingly really enjoyed.
Yeah.
And I'm reading it because I want closure in that event or something.
Yep.
Comics do weird things to people.
They absolutely do, friends.
So be careful out there in the streets.
Should we talk about Domino?
We should.
By Gail Simone and David Balduron.
And Jesus Ebertov.
He does the colors.
Yep.
And this is when I was like, fuck, Gail Simone gets away with murder, because there is a full page of Domino in Shang-Chi's old costume, and it says, like a sword made of flesh. Gail Simone, you filthy bitch.
So Domino is like obsessed with Shang-Chi.
Because he's hot.
That's it. And like basically like, you know, just wants to shtoink Shang-Chi, but also learn the way of the ninja.
Yep.
Through him as well.
Through him.
With him.
In him.
In him.
With him. In her. Sorry. Anyway, I love this book. Unsurprisingly, I think David Balduron's art is like the perfect mix of like sexy and funny.
Yes, definitely.
To just nail a Gail Simone book.
Too many characters in this group. I'm still like, who's that again?
Yeah, Gail Simone loves.
Why is Deadpool here again?
Because Gail Simone writes a funny Deadpool.
Yeah, that's true. But I know I'm enjoying this.
Yeah.
Any book with Shang-Chi in it is okay in my books.
Absolutely.
Especially when it's just another character saying how hot he is the whole time.
Yeah, that's
great. I'm all about it.
Absolutely.
So did you read Hunt for Wolverine, The Adamantium Agenda?
You know what? I literally opened it up and went like, bah! And that was it.
Really?
That was my entire
This is the Tom Taylor written one. With art by R.B. Silva.
I just can't be fucked, man.
Yeah, just find a Wolverine already.
Just find Wolverine. There's like six of them.
But this one was fun because, you know, it involved someone selling the genetic makeup of Luke Cage and Jessica Jones's daughter on the black market when they went there trying to find Wolverines. It's like a big fight with Mr. Sinister on a submarine. And Laura, X-23, is there and she chops his hands off.
Great.
And then they all get given Iron Man suits, which are ridiculously stupid, but
yeah,
whatever.
That was the page that I opened it up to, and I was like, oh, Jessica Jones is in like a pink Iron Man suit. I just don't need this.
And you know what Luke Cage is in like a gold one with like a wrecking ball, like a mace.
Great.
Attached to him on one of his arms. It's really silly, and sometimes comics just should be, and so I'm enjoying this. It's dumb.
Okay.
How about Infinity, whatever that fucking thing is.
Infinity Countdown Dark Hawk. Oh, God, I just couldn't even begin to tell you what happened in this. Some shit with those, what are those alien bird guys? Not the Shi'ar. What are their ones in this? Ravens. Reavers.
Oh, the Reavers, yep.
Is that what they are?
Yep.
Okay, anyway, whatever, who cares? Blah, blah.
Thanks so much for a great review, Siobhan.
I just can't even, like, I read this, and there's, like, many kinds of dude, and then someone dies, and then someone else is sad about it. Oh, the Nova's brother, but a different Nova. The Raptors, not the Reavers, Raptors.
That's right, Reavers are X-Men.
Alien bird guys, you know what I'm talking about. Anyway, whatever.
Everyone who cares knew what you were talking about and were frustrated.
Exactly.
No one who doesn't care but is still frustrated.
No one gained anything by this review. I'm sorry for wasting your time.
The New Mutants Dead Souls. You're reading it.
I am. This is written.
Let's see if you can do another good review.
So written by Matt Rosenberg, art by Adam Gorham. This is the team of Magic, Richter, Boom Boom, Strong Guy, and Wolfsbane. And in this issue, and it's like all about Monet. Is it Monet's brother? Someone's brother?
Brone.
Shan's undead brother, Tran. Tran. He's the bad guy in this. Anyway, they go to New York to try and figure out some magic bullshit with Doctor Strange. And then they break into the Sanctorum. And it's like, it was good fun.
Fun. You up and down. Oh, Bats is in it.
I am, yeah. I am up and down on this. Because Matt Rosenberg has such a like style already that I'm so familiar with. And it's my fault for reading too many comics that I just get bored of it pretty quickly. But this is kind of the perfect X-Team for him.
That's good.
In terms of like, it kind of works in pop culture stuff. He's obviously very familiar with the team. He's familiar with the characters. He's got a good mix of like comedy and seriousness.
Mm-hmm.
And the art's really great.
Cool.
Yeah, I like it.
Ms. Marvel.
Ms. Marvel. I decided to jump back onto this because I read the last issue. So written by the aforementioned G. Willow Wilson, with just such good art by Nico Leon, Ian Herring on colors. And so Kamala's powers are acting up and she and Bruno are trying to get to the bottom of it. And I thought she and Bruno were dating now, but they didn't smooch in this. So I don't know what the fucking point is. But it's good fun.
Good.
I still like it.
Teen love. Nah, takes so long to smooch.
What?
Nah, I don't know.
Were you ever a teenager?
No.
No.
Yeah, isn't that crazy?
You were,
I skipped him.
I think that you were just always a teenager.
Yeah, still am.
Yeah.
So I'm going to close out our Marvel reviews on two books written by Charles Soule.
Okay.
One of them is Daredevil 605, which featured Daredevil teaming up with his priest and to kill the beast, the guy who leads the hand, who is just a big, gross, blobby, fat guy that farts.
Nice.
He just emits this big green gas that hurts everybody.
Yes, please.
It gets wrapped up kind of neatly enough for me to go like, okay, that's it for me in the Charles Soule Daredevil run.
Yeah.
Even though I enjoy the Fisk as mayor thing.
Same.
We even got Daredevil as mayor. And but that element of it is fun, but it's just all the superhero. I don't think Charles Soule does good superhero stuff.
I just want a straight up courtroom drama.
Yeah.
Like a Law and Order SVU.
Yeah.
That's what I want.
You know what Charles Soule does really well is write Darth Vader book comics.
Is it a legal drama?
No, but it's a really, really good Darth Vader book. Star Wars Darth Vader, issue number 18, with art by Giuseppe Camuncoli, Daniele Orlandini, and David Curiel. This book sees Grand Moff Tarkin, although he's just a general at this point, General Tarkin, hunting with a big crew of all different, crazy-looking aliens and robots and bounty hunters. They're essentially on a planet in which they're trying to hunt Darth Vader. But quickly, Darth Vader becomes the hunter. And each of them get whittled off one by one until the last page. And then there's a big twist. And it was just really, really fun. Again, it just feels like it's a Punisher book, but Darth Vader is the Punisher.
Oh, that's fun.
But it really works.
Yeah.
And it's really fun. And Giuseppe Camuncoli is definitely my favorite Star Wars artist at the moment.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah. It's great. Great series. Really enjoy it. Highly recommend it to anyone that kind of tapped out of the Star Wars comics when they just proved to be disappointing. But this one is not.
Cool. Nice.
Image reviews, Siobhan.
Okay, I only read one image book.
Yeah, because you don't read Black Science.
I sure don't.
I'll just quickly tell you that Black Science, issue number 37, written by Rick Remender, Matteo Scalera, and Marino Denisio on art and colors, respectively.
What a page. Sorry.
Yeah, man. Matteo Scalera's art and the colors, it's just so friggin' good. But
yeah.
This issue, basically, you see the tragedy of these different versions of our main characters. Every single version of them falls into the same trap of trying to save their children, and in doing so, dooms more and more universes.
Oh, no.
And so our two main characters are kind of shown what happens when they try and track down their children, and if they make the decision, are they going to go and save their kids or are they going to doom the universe?
Oh, my God. That's a tough call.
Yep.
I would doom the universe. Fuck you, universe. Saving my baby.
Yeah, exactly. So that's what they do, too.
Nice.
You're in this book. It's great, great, really, really good, really good issue, and we're coasting towards the end. There's two more arcs left after this.
Wow, two more arcs.
Yeah.
Wow, long.
Isola.
Who knows?
Isola.
That's how you have to say it every single time.
Issue number 4 of this great image book, written by Brendan Fletcher, Carl Kerschel, co-writer, art by Carl Kerschel and Ms. Sassy K.
That's what I always pronounce it as. Yep, I don't know if that's what it is. Fuck, this is a good book. This is your Studio Ghibli dreams.
Yeah, definitely. Mine in particular, or just in general? Everyone listening is in particular.
Everyone's. I've seen all of your dreams.
So, when we first got this series, it was this mysterious series about a woman navigating a beautiful tiger, like a blue and black tiger, through a dangerous jungle. And, you kind of started to, it was suggested that there was the soul of a queen trapped in the lion. And in this book, we learn what happened in the past.
Yes.
And so we learn a lot about our two main characters. And then a bunch of shit happens that dooms the future of both of these characters. And I have no fucking idea where this series is going to go next, but I'm here for it.
I absolutely am. It is genuinely possibly the most beautiful comic on the stands.
Yep.
Is that a hectic thing to say? I don't know.
It's a very Levins thing to say, and I'm glad it came from your mouth, not mine.
The colors are just so gorgeous, and everything is so sort of luminous and magical seeming, and it's this beautiful sort of fantasy world.
It's a book that I'll definitely buy in hardcover.
Yeah, absolutely. It's something that feels very European.
Yeah, it's awesome. It's really, really good stuff.
Absolutely. Gorgeous.
If I knew how to pronounce it.
Yep.
So those are our Image reviews, and now we move over to other publishers, kicking off with a review of Nancy Drew 2, out through Dynamite Books, written by Kelly Thompson, with art by Jen St. Onge, colours by Triona Farrell, and letters by Ariana Mayer.
I love this book!
So I did not like the first issue. Fucking loved the second issue.
Fucking love it.
Glad I stuck through it.
The teen detective genre.
And I think it is just, you know, I don't know why I'm dubious towards new Kelly Thompson books.
I know, because like you're always like, no, I'm sad I'm not reading it once it's on to issue like
yeah,
six.
Yeah. So I stuck, luckily I was won over by issue two, so that's good. So yeah, this is like a kind of, you know, reimagining of not just Nancy Drew, but also the Hardy Boys.
Yep.
And we see the classic teenage investigator, would-be detective Nancy mm-hmm. Drew returning to her hometown to... Like,
because she got a spooky letter.
Yeah, that's right. And there's a lot of death in this mm-hmm. in this series. Mm-hmm. Lots of people have dead parents.
Yep.
And they discover the dead body in this.
Yep.
It's great. It manages to kind of very well balance kind of heavy mm-hmm. murders and things like that, and like the sadness of being an orphan, with fun, sass.
Romance.
They dialed down the sassiness in this one. True. Now. You had the characters actually cared about each other mm-hmm. instead of like, oh, he kids, but he loves me like constantly, which is what I kind of got from the first issue. This is a really, really great issue. And the story unfolding is pretty gripping too.
Absolutely. If you miss Kelly Thompson's Hawkeye book, definitely pick this up because it definitely scratches that itch. And the art's so cute and so pretty, and it's like the perfect... sort of level of teen angst and romance and
So this team, I think I actually read a bunch of, I think this was the team that did the Gem and the Holograms books.
Okay.
Kelly and Jen St. Onge.
I don't know anything about Gem and the Holograms and I don't want to find out.
Well, there was a number one at some point and I did my civic duty.
Yep.
And I read it because I have to.
I don't.
It's under a law that only I follow.
Yep.
Bloodshot Salvation came out through Valiant this week, written by Jeff Lemire with art by Doug Braithwaite, colours by Jordi Belair. When did she join this book?
I don't know, but I'm into it.
Yeah.
She nails it.
And this basically is like a big jump forward in the future. Oh, no, sorry. Bloodshot's daughter returns from hell and she's older now.
Yeah, now she's like six.
And she may be the most powerful Bloodshot yet.
And so she's on the run with her mom, Magic, trying to get away from, who's the big gray guy?
Rampage.
Rampage. And meanwhile, Bloodshot is stuck in 4002 AD.
Yep. It's fucking crazy. It's great. There's an awesome moment where Punk Mambo helps Magic get mm-hmm. in touch with Bloodshot mm-hmm. In 4002 AD.
By talking through Bloodhound.
That's right. Who's being taken over by a demon.
Yes.
In making sure that Bloodshot, stays true to his word that he made to another demon.
I just can't believe how good Jeff Lemire is at such an array of books. Like how he manages to
how
do such a pitch
all of
perfect
them to begin with. And,
How he has the time, and then how he also manages to write like a pitch perfect action adventure superhero book alongside all these sort of really sad small scale family dramas.
Yeah.
He's the best.
Totally. And I hope he sticks around for a while. There's an ad for another Bloodshot book called Bloodshot Rising Spirit coming soon that doesn't have his name attached.
As long as he gets to close out this arc, I'm happy. And the Kenneth Rocafort covers are so good.
Yeah, I really love them.
That's such a gorgeous cover for the next issue.
Yeah, definitely.
Love it. Love it, love it, love it.
So that was a good issue of Bloodshot. Did you read Metcadet U this week?
I did.
Good issue. Written by Greg Pak with art by Takeshi Miyazawa. And colours by Jessica Coline. This is the kind of, ode to classic
mech
manga and, uh-huh. and anime uh-huh. In which a son of a custodian
mm-hmm.
is bonds with a robot and is now trying to save the Earth from being overtaken by giant bugs. And his robot is desperate to sacrifice himself to save everybody. And it's great. It's, you know, this is very much like this feels like I'm watching it.
Absolutely.
It feels like a really great movie.
Which has a lot to say about how dynamic Miyazawa's art is.
Art. With colors by Raul Angulo. So there you go. Oh, that's a color. He does a color. All right, sure. That's a cover. Sorry, my bad. yeah, this is a great issue. Again, I don't want to spoil too much of it, but
great issue, great book.
If the word mech sends tingles down your spine, sends you running to the utility closet, then definitely pick this book up.
Absolutely.
And finally, Aliens Dust to Dust, out through Dark Horse this week, issue 2 of 4. This is the book written and drawn by Gabrielle Hardman, with colors by Rain Barreto, and it is like dialing up the horror.
Cool.
On an Aliens book, and it's not necessarily, it doesn't feel, even though they're clearly in space, it's actually like they're on the ground for the most part.
Oh, that's cool.
When they try and get off it, their spaceship crashes, and so they're stuck on a seemingly kind of desolate, storm-struck planet, as chaos surrounds them, and with one alien. Yeah, and one of the main characters is a boy whose mother dies after, like, in like the first page of this book. So there's a lot of fucking shit going on.
Yeah.
I think that was his mother. I can't remember. But he was close to her anyway, in any case.
Mm.
Yeah, it's a good series.
Yeah, cool.
You should just... You read the first issue, yeah?
No, I don't think so.
No, damn.
Yeah, that's why I didn't pick up issue 2. I was confused.
Yep. Good little mini-series in the same realm as the awesome James Stokoe Aliens book that we got.
Cool. Okay. Last year. All right.
Speaking of James Stokoe, do you know that Orkstein is coming back?
I did not know that. I'm thrilled.
Have you ever read it?
No.
I can lend you all the issues. There was like 7 and it ended on a cliffhanger.
Which, amazing.
And I think it came out before the last issue of S.H.I.E.L.D. by... what's his name? Hickman. And,
yeah.
And Weaver. So yeah, crazy to see that book's coming back. Very, very cool. But that's in the future, Siobhan. If you want to, you know, come back and hear us talk about Orkstein, you can do so by listening to us again in the future. That's how podcasts work.
Yeah.
If you keep listening, you hear us.
It's crazy.
Other things you can do to support the show are to head to our Facebook page, facebook.com/seriousissuespodcast, or join our group with thousands of other comic book fans talking about comics nonstop, facebook.com/groups/seriousissuespodcast. We are on Patreon, and if you join up right now, you'll not only get access to our spoiler review of Kill or Be Killed, the entire season series. You'll also get a new upload that's going up as soon as this one goes up, featuring Siobhan reviewing a comic book awards.
Look, this is probably only going to be of interest to you. I mean, I would be shocked if this was of interest to anyone. Is that a good selling?
That's a terrible selling point.
Am I good at selling things? I have a discussion with my lovely boyfriend Nate, the lovely Nate, about my reaction to the Ledger Awards, which is the Australian Comic Book Awards.
And when you say my reaction, the way you did, that makes me think that maybe you did not have that good of a time at these.
Which makes me think that you didn't listen to it.
Oh right, I haven't listened to it yet. I was going to when I uploaded.
I didn't have a very nice time. But listen to it. I feel almost bad because we're a sponsor.
Okay. Well, I mean, they have to be a sponsor of our podcast to hear it. So pay up.
Yeah.
patreon.com/seriousissuespodcast. You want to support the show? Every little dollar makes it easier to spend more and more time reading comics and talking about them for your enjoyment.
Absolutely.
So please consider supporting us. You get a whole bunch of
extra bonus. It's cheaper than buying the comics.
That's true. And you can, you get access to a whole bunch of extra bonus content that we've recorded over the last year. patreon.com/seriousissuespodcast. Find out what Siobhan thought of this thing that I think she didn't like that she can't say on the free podcast.
Yes. All right.
If you want to follow Siobhan on social media, it's at Siobhan CBG, and I am at Levdog, LEVDAWG. If you're at Splendor in the Grass this weekend in Australia, I'm DJing every single day.
Oh my God.
Come and say hi.
Have fun.
And mention that you like the podcast, and I'll play the Batman theme instead of whatever rap song I'm playing at the time.
Play Kissed by a Rose.
Okay, cool. That is my Batman theme.
Yes.
The Batman Forever theme.
Yes.
So there you go. I'll play Seal for you. Thank you so much for listening.
Thanks,
and
guys.
We'll see you next week. Bye.
Bye.
This podcast is part of the Planet Broadcasting Network.
Visit planetbroadcasting.com for more podcasts from our great mates.
I mean, if you want. It's up to you.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, everyone. Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.